Thank you, praise team. Take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. If you do not have a Bible with you, you may take one of the hard-covered black Bibles in the pew rack in front of you and turn to page 983. 983. That's where you will find our passage of Scripture for consideration this morning. And if you do not own a Bible, you can take that one home as our gift to you. There are no Bible police at the doors who will be searching. Take it home. It's yours. Free. Well, those who take part in our Wednesday evening Bible study and prayer time during our family matter time on Wednesday evening, those individuals, they have some kind of an idea of what my heart looks like whenever it comes to the Word of God. For the last few years, at the beginning of a new year, I would challenge us concerning one of the disciplines of the Christian faith. For instance, prayer has been a prominent theme, and of course, the Word of God. And rightly so, because as I have said, many people make resolutions to read through the Word of God. Well, I have taken several messages that I have preached over the course of the last number of years and kind of blended them together for a challenge for us this new year. And recognizing that there are individuals who are going to make an attempt to read through the Word of God, my heart's prayer, my desire for us as a church is that our goal is just not simply to fulfill a religious duty of trying to cover all of the information between Genesis and Revelation and just make a cursory reading of it, just trying to check off a box that we have read through the Word of God. I pray that this is going to be a year whenever we dig into the Word of God, where we begin to go deep into the Word of God, that we will have an insatiable appetite for the Word of God, going into the Word deeply. And so that is my prayer for us as a church. So I want to call your attention to a couple of passages of Scripture, one being Paul's letter to the Colossians. So if you're in Colossians chapter 1, I would like to begin reading in verse 9, where the infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of the living God states, "And so from the day we heard," now this is the Apostle Paul speaking on behalf of himself and those who were with him. He says, "From the day we heard." From the day we heard what? Well, if you read earlier in the chapter, you will see that the Apostle Paul was keenly impressed by their faith and their love for the brothers and sisters in Christ. And then later on, you're going to see where he was extremely impressed with how they understood the gospel of truth. And so that's what he's referring to. From the day that we heard about your faith. Now, guys, there's a lot of things that a church can be known for. Unfortunately, in our day and time, churches are becoming known for things that are not, well, good. I mean, sometimes, you know, there's some bad things that happen, and that seems to get the news. There's going to be some religious leader who fails in some way, and it's going to be in the news. But if there's any number of reasons why a church can be known, sometimes a church can be known in a good way because of their youth program or a children's program or whatever. But guys, how great would it be if the Cooper First Baptist Church was known in this community and in our county as a church of faith, a church that believes God, a church that trusts in Jesus and Jesus alone for salvation and for their love for one another. Now, that would be worth being known for. Well, that's what is happening here. Paul, from the day that he heard about their faith, heard about their love for one another and their faith in the gospel of God, he says this, "We," that is himself and his cohorts, those who are with him, "we have not ceased to pray for you." So he said that they're continually praying for the church at Colossae. Now, notice what I have underlined on the notes. Asking, so here's the prayer request. This is what Paul is asking God to do in the believers there at Colossae. "Asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work," and look at this, "and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. This is the word of God, church. Hear it. Jesus died for our sins. I mentioned that I do nearly every single Wednesday evening during that time make some mention of God's word. As a matter of fact, we've been going through the book of Psalms for some months now. And I haven't been going through every single one of the 150 Psalms. That would obviously take a considerable amount of time. But I picked out certain ones. And in nearly every Psalm, in some way, the word of God is mentioned. Whenever we got to the 119th Psalm, 176 verses, divided into 22 equal six-verse stanzas, if you will, I spent 22 weeks going through Psalm 119. Those 176 verses, and church, at least 170 of those 176 verses, every single one of them mentioned the Word of God in some form or some fashion. The Word of God has an extremely prominent position in the Word of God. I mean, even whenever you read through it, even a cursory reading, you're going to understand how important the Word of God was to the people of God, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Now, I want you to look at this portion of Scripture that is in the book of Colossians, all right? And basically what Paul is praying for these believers in the church at Colossae, this is my prayer for us. This is my prayer for me. And for our church as well. Now, I believe that the only way that this prayer is going to be answered is for God to put a desire in the hearts of those believers to dig into his word. Because, in my opinion, I mean, listen, if you're going to be filled with the knowledge of the will of God, how are you going to get that knowledge? Listen, if you are going to have spiritual wisdom that he is praying for, how are you going to do that without getting into the Word of God? If you are going to have some understanding of who God is, what God has done, what God is doing, and what God is going to do, how can you do that if you don't get into the Word of God? If you are going to live in a manner that is worthy of the Lord, how in the world are you going to know what that looks like if you don't get into the Word of God? And if you are going to live a life that is pleasing to him, how can you do that if you don't get into the Word of God? And Paul says, listen, hearing this, I want you to bear spiritual fruit, good fruit. I mean, good fruit in the good works that you do. How are you going to know what those are if you don't get into the Word of God? And he prays that they will increase in the knowledge of God. How can that be if you don't get into the Word of God? Starting to get the point, I hope. The word filled. This is what he said. He says, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. Filled, that word filled. Pleroo is what it is in the Greek. A powerful word. It means to cause to abound. May God cause you to abound in the word, to be filled to overflowing. In our vernacular, to fully cram. Yes, that's what it means. So Paul is praying that the believers there in Colossae would be fully crammed with knowledge of the Word of God, that they would be filled to overflowing with the knowledge of God's will. How can that be unless you get into the Word? That's the only way it works. When we are filled to overflowing with the Word of God, when we are abounding in the Word of God, listen, guys, that moves us extremely close to this God we say that we worship. This was the prayer that Paul had for the church at Colossae. This is the prayer I have for me and for Cooper First Baptist Church. This is my challenge for us this new year. I'm telling, listen, church, the greatest treasure to be had in all of the universe is God himself. And the greatest pursuit in all of creation is the pursuit of this God who has created us. It is the pursuit of this God who has redeemed us, this God who has saved us, this God who is of infinite goodness and grace and mercy. Pursue him, and we pursue him as we dig into his word. Why make such a big deal out of the word of God in 2026? Why make such a fuss about all of this? Let me mention three things. Number one, God has revealed himself to us in the Word. I know, Captain Obvious, I know that's obvious to you, but let's talk about it anyway, shall we? God has revealed himself to us in his Word. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Listen to what the writer of the Hebrews says. Beginning in verse 1, he says, long ago at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. So in this verse of scripture, you find one of the most important phrases in the Bible, God spoke. Church, do you understand how significant that is? Or did that just... Do you understand the ramifications of a God who speaks to his creation? The reader to the Hebrews says that God has spoken many times in many different ways through many different people. I mean, the Bible was written over the course of 1,500 years by over 40 different individuals, and yet there is a unity there that cannot be denied. He has spoken through a burning bush. He has spoken directly to individuals. He has spoken through visions. He has spoken through angels. He has spoken directly to all kinds of people. God spoke. And that's one of the most relevant realizations for a believer, no matter if you've been a believer for minutes or for decades. The fact that God spoke is significant to us, because God had men write down exactly what he wanted written down. There are times whenever God spoke directly to an individual, and that individual, usually like in the prophets, they would write down what God had told them. And sometimes the Spirit of the living God would move upon a person, and the influence was so powerful, so strong, that they wrote down exactly what God wanted written down. And church, I believe that the church in America, sometimes I don't think that we really understand the weightiness of what it is that we hold in our hands when we hold a copy of the Word of God. What if God decided that he wasn't going to reveal himself to his creatures? What if God decided, to leave us to our own devices? What if God would have, like the theists say, the deists say, then maybe there's a God, God created. But if that's the case, then he's a hands-off God. He's an absentee God. He's not involved in his creation. What if God would have decided to do that, to have created what exists and then wash his hands clean of it all? What if God remained silent and inactive since the fall of humankind? I thought to myself, where would I be? Where would we be? Where would the world be if God did not choose to reveal himself to creation? Is it not most remarkable that the creator of the universe, who by the power of his spoken word created this blue ball called Earth, in our solar system, in our galaxy called the Milky Way, one of among billions, this God chose to speak to the people that he created on that little blue ball. That is fascinating. That is remarkable. That should never be considered insignificant to a believer. God spoke. Listen, God spoke through his creation. I call your attention to Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. Look at what Paul wrote in that first chapter. He said, for what can be known about God is plain to them. Who is the them? Humanity. People. You, me, us, everybody who has lived, is alive, who will live. Look at this, what he said. For what can be known about God is plain to them. Because how come? Because God has shown it to them. Guys, God has been showing himself to humanity for thousands of years. God has shown it to them. Look at verse 20. For a few of the things that you can learn about God just by looking at creation. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power. Wouldn't you agree that it requires an extremely powerful God to create a universe? More than we can even begin to imagine. Look at this. He says, His eternal power and his divine nature have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. So ever since the creation of the world and people have been populating this world, they have been being exposed to the reality of this God through creation. Ever since the creation of the world, Paul says right there, in the things that have been made, so that those who reject God are without excuse. In other words, what he's saying is, you know, the atheist at some point has considered creation and the thought that, wonder if there was a God who created all of this, but then they made the decision, I choose not to believe. They suppress the truth. That's what Paul says in that first chapter. Now, this is what we call general revelation. God reveals general information about himself through creation. I look at creation and I can tell he's a very creative God. He's a powerful God. He's got to be a really, really intelligent God. And he is. So God reveals himself to a certain degree through creation, but God has also spoken to us in another way. We call this special revelation. Special revelation. His word. His written word. The Bible is God's special revelation because it contains information that we could not know about God had God not lovingly and mercifully recorded it for us. And of course, in Hebrews, he also said there's another word, that's the living word, that is Jesus Christ. Now, son, here's the thing. If you're going to know anything about Jesus Christ, you got to get into the written word to know the living word, right? The written word helps us to understand the living word. Has God ever spoken to you? Has God ever spoken to you through a burning bush? Has God ever spoken to you through a donkey? I mean, he has, according to the word of God. Has God ever spoken to you through an angel? Probably not. But has God spoken to you? Yes, he has. Yes, he has. Here's the thing. Every time that you read the word of God, he's speaking to you with the same authority as he possessed whenever he was speaking to Moses through the burning bush, when he was speaking through a donkey, to Balaam, whenever he's speaking to Abraham through angels. Do you understand? This is a point I know I tried to make last Lord's Day, but we cannot overlook it, that whenever we read the word of God, whenever we hear the word of God, when we're being taught the word of the living God, I mean, it's as if God were personally speaking to you. And it's with the same authority as whenever he personally spoke to individuals in the Word of God. Every time you read the Word of God, he is revealing himself to you. And so that is why that a part of my prayer for this coming 2026 is that God would help each and every single member and attender of the Cooper First Baptist Church, praying that they will clearly understand what it is in the Bible, what the Bible is, and that they'll have an insatiable appetite for that word. So why place the focus on the word of God this year? Number two, because of the nature of God's word. The nature. I call your attention to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, where Paul, in writing to young Timothy, and young Timothy is a young pastor. Some believe that he's getting stressed out. I mean, the pressure is obvious. And maybe he's just almost to the point where he wants to throw up his hands and give up. And in essence, what Paul is doing in these letters to Timothy is trying to encourage him. And one of the ways that he does so is help Timothy understand, remember what it is that you are preaching. It's the word of God. And look at what he says in verse 16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching. Profitable. That means the word of God is for our benefit. The word of God is for our good. The more we get into it and the more it gets into us, the better it is for us. It is good for teaching. It is good for reproof. In other words, the word of God shows us where we're going wrong, but it doesn't leave us there because it's good for correction. In other words, the word of God shows us how we can correct that. And then it doesn't stop there. It also shows us how that we can live in righteousness, training in righteousness. I went ahead and put the New King James Version up there as well because it's just a little bit different. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, inspired word of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. One of the most overlooked and yet important words in this verse is that little bitty word, all. It comes from the Greek word, pas. And in the original languages, it means that every passage and every word in the Bible is inspired by God. Now, this is extremely important. It is important because there are individuals who would like to take portions of the Word of God and say, this applies to us, but this part over here doesn't. It's like you go through Fur's cafeteria, and you're going through a line, and you're just picking out what you want and leaving what you don't want. And guys, you can't do that whenever it comes to the Word of God, because every single word is inspired by God. All of Scripture, not just portions of it, but all of it, from Genesis to Revelation. Now, this inspiration, I want you to understand, is different from human inspiration. The Bible is not the result of human inspiration, church. I mean, listen, you have a genius like Einstein, and he considers the cosmos, the universe, and he is inspired to come up with the theory of relativity. Stephen King is understood to be one of our time's great writers. You may not like his novels, you may not like his movies, but those who are into literature say he is an excellent writer. There is one particular novel and movie, The Shining. He was inspired. You know how he was inspired to write that book? He and his wife take a little trip to Estes Park, Colorado, and they stay at the Stanley Hotel, all right? And they are the only ones staying there. They rent room 217. King goes on to say that, oh, it was nice, relaxing, being the only, you know, the only ones there that were renting a room. But he said that night he had a nightmare, and that nightmare was the inspiration for The Shining. And by the way, the Stanley Hotel also had an old pet cemetery, which that also inspired another one. I think you know which novel and movie that would have been, right? Yes. So whenever we talk about the inspiration of the Bible, it's not in the way that we... I mean, listen, there are people who are geniuses, and listen, they've been inspired to write music that is, I mean, just unbelievable. There are scientists who have been inspired, and they have made discoveries that are amazing. There are engineers who have built things absolutely amazing. But I mean, it's not even on the same level of inspiration whenever it comes to the Word of God, because God is the one who inspired these writers, not other men. The Scriptures were inspired by God. The ESV translation interprets the word inspired as breathed out by God. So what does that mean? It means that every single word, as those writers were penning the Word of God, God was breathing into them what He wanted written in those original manuscripts. They were writing it down. It means that every word is God's Word. The Presbyterian preacher, Donald Gray Barnhouse, he explained inspiration this way. Listen to this, and I quote, "Just as the Holy Spirit came upon the womb of Mary, so He came upon the brain of Moses, a David, an Isaiah, a Paul, a John, and the rest of the writers of the divine library. The power of the highest overshadowed them. Therefore, that holy thing which was born of their minds is called the Holy Bible, the Word of God. The writing of Luke will, of course, have the vocabulary of Luke, and the work of Paul will bear the stamp of Paul's mind. However, this is only in the same manner that the Lord Jesus might have had eyes like His mother's, or hair that was the same color and texture as hers. He did not inherit her sins because the Holy Spirit has come upon her. And if we ask, how could this be? The answer is, because God says so. And the writings of men of the book, the holy book, the Bible, did not inherit the errors of their carnal minds because their writings were conceived by the Holy Spirit and born out of their personalities without partaking of their fallen nature. If we ask, how could this be? Again, the answer is, because God says so. So, let me say my prayer for our church is that we would be a people who understand what God has given us in His Word, and that God would create in each and every one of us such a desire to know His Word, to know Him, that we would possess an insatiable appetite for the Word of God. Well, lastly, let's talk about an insatiable appetite for the Word. And I want to go to 1 Peter this time. 1 Peter 2:2. Look at what Peter says. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. All right? Another translation. As newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. After we got married, our first child, Shelly, so she's not here to defend herself. So I'll speak about Shelly. You know, it's amazing whenever we brought that baby home. I mean, wow. I mean, we were nervous parents. They just don't come with instruction manuals, except for the Word of God. But, you know, it's amazing. It seems like a baby is born hungry. Have you ever noticed that? They come, you bring them home, and they want to eat, they want to sleep, and then they want to poop. That's what babies do, right? They sleep, eat, and poop. But here's one thing I learned right off the bat. And even as Kathy has kept a number of our grandchildren, is that whenever a baby wants to eat, a baby wants to eat. They're going to let you know it. They're going to squeal. They're going to scream. They're going to holler until you give them something to eat. They want to know, when are you going to feed me? When are you going to give me sustenance? And it seems like they're always hungry. It seems like they have that insatiable appetite for eating. And we also, early on, decided that, well, because of, you know, what at that particular time, the real push was you need to breastfeed. And I thought, oh, gee, God has not gifted men with that ability. So, sorry, Shug, that's going to be all left to you in the middle of the night. And then Kathy comes home. She says, look what I found. And I said, well, what is that? She goes, a pump. Yeah, some of you, I guess you ladies got that. I got it too, because that means now getting up in the middle of the night as well. The point is simply this, church. All it seems like a baby wants to do is eat. And when they want to eat, they're ready to eat right then. It's like they have this insatiable appetite. It's like it can't be satisfied. And guys, listen, this is Peter's point. We should possess such an insatiable appetite for the Word of God. I mean, like a baby has an insatiable appetite for milk. Peter tells us that we are to long for this milk, the milk of the Word. And the word long there in the original language means to intensely crave. It means to passionately desire. So Peter is saying that we are to intensely crave and passionately desire the Word of God. We're to possess an insatiable appetite for the Word. We should be in a state that we just cannot get enough of the Word. We're hungry for it. We are thirsty for it. We are longing for it. We are yearning for it. We're going to take every single opportunity that we can in order to get the Word of God inside of us. John MacArthur said this, and I quote, "Now, if Peter was going to exhort his congregation through this letter, he could have chosen a number of approaches to this. He could have said to them, you need to read the Word." That's what Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:13. He could have said, you need to study the Word so that you're not ashamed, rightly dividing it. He could have said what the psalmist said in Psalm 19:14 and what Joshua says in 1:8, where Paul said in Philippians 4:8, he could have said, think on the Word, meditate on the Word. He could have said what Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:11, teach the Word. He could have said what Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the Word. He could have said what it says in Acts 17:11 about the Bereans, search the Word. He could have said what is instructed to us in the armor of the Christian in Ephesians 6, take the Word of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, or wield the sword, in other words. But he didn't. I suppose he could have said what is in Psalm 119:11, hide the Word, put it in your heart. And all of those things are certainly critical, he said. But at the very foundation of all of that, and Peter knew it, and the Holy Spirit knew it, is the desire of the Word. Because if you don't desire it, my friend, you won't read it. And if you don't desire it, you won't study it. You won't meditate on it. And you're never going to be able to teach or preach. And you're not going to be interested in searching it. And you certainly won't be able to hide it in your heart. And you won't be able to wield it. So I said all of that to say this, that the most compelling thing that I can say to you, church, in this morning's message is you need to examine your heart as to the level of your craving for the Word of God, because that is an indication of your spiritual health. If a baby isn't hungry and doesn't eat, it's not healthy. And guys, that applies not just simply to a baby, but whenever we start coming down with something, when we start getting sick, we lose our appetite. A lot of times that's an indication of unhealthiness. And it's a sign of unhealthiness to the believer whenever the believer is losing that desire for the Word of God. You know why? Everything flows out of that. Absolutely everything in your Christian life. So, this is my prayer for this next year, that we would be a people who understand what God has given us in His Word, and that God would create in each and every one of us such a desire to know Him more that we would possess an insatiable appetite for the Word of God, and we would take every opportunity to get it. I would encourage Gospel Project, services like this, Wednesday, get the Word. Get the Word of God in. Let's pray together. Of course, the most important message in the Word of God, guys, is the message of God's loving redemption for sinners. The message that we just center on here at Cooper First Baptist Church is the gospel message. The good news of God. How that God provided His only Son as a sacrifice to pay for the sins of those who have acted in rebellion against Him, for those who are ultimate glory thieves, of which every human being is, for those who have sinned against Him and fallen short of His glory. He gave His Son to be slaughtered on the cross as a sacrifice, paying for our sins, believer. And I don't know, there could be someone here this morning and you're not really sure what all of this means, the significance of good news or the significance of Jesus dying on the cross, the significance of trusting in Christ. That's that significance. And we are here in order to open up the Word of God and perhaps unpack that for you, help you to see, help you to understand what it means to have a relationship with God and how that occurs, what the Bible says. So Pastor Darren and myself are going to be up here to my right. And if that describes you, then I would encourage you to come. We'll show you what the Word of God says. Or I don't know, maybe there is someone here. You're like the two young ones that were baptized early, some time ago. God worked in their heart. They trusted in Jesus. And they were making that public this morning through their baptism. Maybe you are here this morning. You have come to a point in your life where right now you trust Jesus and Jesus alone for your salvation. And you know, without a shadow of a doubt, that if you were to die before this day ends, you'll be ushered into His eternal presence. But you know what? You've never made it public. You've never followed Him in believer's baptism. And we would like to help you understand why that is. We'll make ourselves available. And then for us as believers, this is where it got really tough for me. I sat there in front of my computer looking at what I was about to present to you. I had to take a really good, hard, close look at my heart. Oh, yes, I'm into the Word of God quite a bit because I prepare messages and teachings for you guys. But, you know, I need the Word of God just as much as anybody else, not in order to present it to someone else, but because I need the Word of God to work in my life, in my heart. And I have to ask myself the question, as does every, I hope every pastor does. Am I studying this just so I'll have something to present on Sunday morning? Or am I studying this for what it can do in my heart and my life? Guys, I desire an insatiable appetite for the Word of God. Because that is one of those indications, again, of spiritual health. How healthy am I spiritually if I'm lacking a passion for the Word? The psalmist said, I love the Word of God. Do you believe it? Maybe do we need to go before the Lord and say, God, return. There was a time when I had that passion. There was a time when I had that hunger, that burning in my heart to get into the Word and the Word to get into me. And God, I want it back. Help me. And He will. We will also be up here to my right, that if there is anyone here who would like for us to pray with you about any matter, we make ourselves available. Also, the altar is open. You don't have to come to Darren or I. You can come up here. And even if you can't kneel, just sit on the front pew. You don't need anybody as a go-between you and God. And pray. So Heavenly Father, Lord God, we do thank you for your Word. And Lord God, I pray that we would never, ever consider it insignificant that you chose a long, long time ago to reveal yourself to your creatures. What a blessing the Word of God is. And I do pray that if there is anyone within the sound of my voice that has never trusted in Christ, and right now you are doing a work of regeneration in that heart, you are granting them repentance and faith, I pray that they will come and that, God, they will make that known. I pray whatever need that an individual finds in their heart, that right now they seek you out. I pray that they seek you out. So, Lord God, just be honored and glorified. Everything that we do in these next few moments during this last worship song. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.